Jesus' name we worship. Praise the Lord. Once again, we welcome our brethren at home that are joining us online with this service. We want to keep reminding us that the fact that we have a lockdown does not stop us from fellowshipping in the spirit with us in church. And you should behave as though you were physically here in church. Get a nice, comfortable chair. Listen, you know, put your attention, get your Bible out. Put your attention in what you're doing. Switch off, you know, whatever else is on, you know, so you can concentrate and give your full concentration on the Lord. Let's reverence God, even though we're home. It's not time to eat or drink or anything like that, you know. Give God this time, just as you would if you were here in church. Shall we bow to pray? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your mercy and kindness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who's been present with us. As we go into the Word, we invite Him to go with us. We will not leave this place if your presence doesn't go with us. So, Lord Holy Spirit, we ask that you go with us. Father, as we go into the Word, we pray that, Lord God, you will anoint me afresh so that I would speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. And then I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. The brethren that are here physically, those that are at home, Lord God, remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow, Father, freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, Power that will break yokes. Power that will free men. So that they will become doers of the things that they hear and on hearers only. I further pray that as I speak, I pray that as I speak, Lord God, you will help me to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring in, Lord God, that I would speak and redeem the time, saying only what you want me to say. Lord, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old as a scribe instructed of the kingdom. Father, we ask for all of these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. For all those who followed me, just say amen in your heart and say it out loud in agreement with the prayer. Amen isn't just a religious thing we tag along with a prayer. It's something we say as an agreement in our heart. Then we say amen, and it's a prayer of agreement. It's a prayer of unity. And so great power is released when we say amen. So for all those who received every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this afternoon I have a very important message. The Lord dropped it in my heart, I believe, during the week or a week or two ago. It's an instructional message for spiritual growth and victory. And I have entitled it, Doing All to Stand. We are living in very perilous and difficult times. And it is important for God's people to know how to stand in this time. Turn with me in your Bible, firstly, to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We're going to actually spend a lot of time there today. Ephesians chapter 6. And the Apostle Paul gives us these vital instructions. And he says in verse 13, he says, wherefore, take unto you half the armor of God, the whole armor of God. That word there is very, very significant, as we will see. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. That's in verse 14. It means that there are certain things that we must do to stand. Otherwise, he would not say, you know, having done all. He would just say, stand. In other words, you know, you can't do one part and not do another part. You've got to do the whole thing. And that's why he went on to talk about the whole armor of God. And as I was meditating, the Lord, by his mercy and grace, gave me some specific things that every Christian should be doing now to stand in this time. The implication is that, you know, a lot of people may fall. Now, that's not the will of God. You know, in fact, you know, Psalm 91, the Bible says, you know, 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand and 10,000 at your left. It means, you know, in the evil time, there's a high casualty rate. 1,000 at your right hand, 10,000 at your left hand. Say, but it will not come in here. Because you have learned and you learn how to stand. Malachi chapter 3, in verses 1 and 2. It's interestingly that this message also dovetails with the Bible study, although it wasn't planned. You know, I receive this independently of the Bible study, but God does that very often. You know, he says, behold, I will send my messenger, he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come. He's talking here about Jesus coming into his church in his perfection and his fullness. That's why if you look very carefully in the scripture, it speaks about two messengers. The first messenger is the prophetic messenger that has gone ahead, like John the Baptist did for the Lord Jesus Christ. In our own time, the prophets have been speaking ever since the baptism of the Holy Spirit that came that was restored to the church about 1900, the Azusa Street Revival 1906. From that time up till now, prophets have been speaking. People like Smith Wigglesworth, you know, many prophets, Kenneth Hagin, so many of them, you know, have been talking about a move of God that is going to come at the end of time before Jesus returns physically. E.W. Kenyon, I can go on and name names and names, but you know, time would not allow me, that have said, in short, what they have said is this, that the power and the glory that is going to be seen in the end time will far surpass anything they had in their own ministries. Wigglesworth raised, documented that we know of, 14 people from the dead. And O. Wigglesworth said that what will happen in the end time will be 100 times greater than what happened in his own ministry. But they didn't even stop there. They said it will be greater than what we saw in the Acts of the Apostles. And then Jesus himself, our Lord, said we will do greater works. So this is talking about Jesus, who is the messenger of the covenant, coming in us. He says he will come. And that also reminds me of Haggai chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. And we are living in that time. I say, behold, I will shake all nations. Watch this. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. Same thing he said here in Malachi. Behold, he shall come. He's talking about not the rapture, but Jesus coming in us, in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, demonstrating the glory of God as has never been seen on the earth before, even surpassing what we read in the Acts of the Apostles, even in the ministry of Jesus according to the Lord. Now, he says something about this time, this season in which God is coming. Verse 2, he says, but who may abide the day of his coming? It means the day of his coming is going to come with a lot of shaking. It's going to come with, and we can see that now with this, you know, coronavirus and other perils that are happening. You know, it's shaking the whole world for the first time in modern history. In fact, I think in all of history, the entire world is being shaken. People have been shaken before down through the ages, you know, selectively. Locally, Jerusalem, you know, the Babylonians, Israel, but not the whole world at the same time. We've certainly moved into the season of his coming to the church in this glory. Because that Haggai tells us that he will shake all nations, and the desire, that is what all the nations are desiring, the one that can give them the deliverance from the shaking, he said he will come, and he said, I will fill this house with glory. So certainly we are living in that time, because the shaking has already happened. It's not going to happen, it's already happened. So therefore the glory too must happen now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But look at the rhetorical question he asks. And who shall stand when he appeareth? Why? For he is like a refiner's fire. We read that during the Bible study. You know, it says, the day shall come, it shall be like a fire that will refine every man's work. And like a fuller's soap, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. Let me just leave it there. You know, what the point here is this. This is a present truth, instructional. It's prophetic, but, you know, not too prophetic in the sense that we're there already. It's not something that's going to happen. It's coming. It's here. You know, that God wants to do something. He's going to do something that is going to require us to prepare properly and to stand. I believe with all of my heart that one of the reasons, amongst some maybe others, that God has allowed this virus to come, this plague to come, to force everybody, particularly his church, but everybody to, you know, get into this lockdown so you can give more time to God. So you can prepare. Because the lockdown is going to be over soon. We already prayed, you know, things are already abating. You know, it's going to be over soon. And we're going to come out. But come out to what? We're going to come out with the glory of God. And then overcome other challenges that will come. One of the primary reasons for the manifestation of the glory of God is to deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. Hallelujah. And it is only those who are well equipped, properly clothed, properly armored, that will be able to stand in these time of the manifestation of his glory. He said, who shall stand when he appeareth? It means his appearing will bring a lot of shaking. It will bring a lot of, you know, difficulties. However, the good news is that when we learn to stand, we will stand. Having done all to stand, he says, stand. Now, having understood that, I want to encourage us. You know, this message is a message for victory. It's a message for spiritual growth. This time, most governments of the world are already talking about opening gradually. It is very likely that this month of, once we finish April and we enter May, there will be gradual openings. Probably by the end of May, June, you know, most things will go back to a kind of normal. It won't be totally normal, but there will be economic activity. Everything will continue, and God will would have suppressed the virus to the extent where it will no longer be as life-threatening as it is now. And through the wisdom of God, through the glory of God, I believe there's going to be both the natural aspect where God will give wisdom to the doctors and the healthcare professionals, and then also the glory of God that will bring supernatural healing. There will be a suppression of this plague. However, having said that, the other challenges that will come will also still be there. And I want to explain this, you know, with greater clarity. Look at Matthew chapter 24, the great end time timetable chapter. That's where Jesus tells us everything about the end time in encapsulated form. That's why he says, look, this will happen first, this will happen. He said, the end is not yet. Then this one will happen, then the end will come. Then after that, there will be the abomination of desolation, all the aspects of the end time, the destruction of Jerusalem, the signs of his coming, which is the time we're in now, and the end of the age, which is what is known as the Great Tribulation. But he says in chapter 24, and let's look at verses 7, and let's actually read from verse 6. He says, and you shall hear of wars, I didn't hear you, and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. This is particularly true since 1900. Within the first 40 years or 50 years of the last century, the 20th century, you know, we had two world wars that has never happened in history before. For the first time in human history, the entire planet was at war. Again, there were places like here in Africa, for example, we hardly saw any war, you know, because we were under the British Empire at that time. You know, there was a little bit of skirmishes in North Africa, you know, and all of that, but it never got down south here. It didn't get to them in places like Brazil and South Africa, you know, and South America. But, you know, in Europe, America, it didn't get to the American homeland, but Japan and you know, and countries like that, you know. But it was still a universal a war, in the sense that the entire world felt it and felt the impact. That told us that we had entered into what you can call the end of time, the signs of his coming, you know. So nation rose up against nation, kingdom against you hear rumors of war. He says, don't be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. He said, but that's not the end. A lot of people thought that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. They thought that was the end. No. You know, even now it's not the end yet. He said, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. He said, there shall be famines. And we've seen plenty of them. You know, and some may still be in front, but don't worry. And pestilences. This coronavirus is an example of a pestilence. Earthquakes in diverse places. He says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows, or the initial birth pangs of what is coming. So what I want to understand is, what is the root behind these things? I mentioned this in some of my messages in the last few weeks. It bears repetition, I want to say, with greater emphasis and clarity. It is the collective and cumulative sins of this generation. You see, sin has an effect on the environment. It has an effect on our bodies, on our health. Go and read. I don't have the time to go there, but you can check me out, like the Berean Christian. Go and check Deuteronomy chapter 28. And God told the children of Israel, but it's applicable even to us today. He said, if you will keep my commandments, these are the blessings. Only 14 verses. Then he said, but if you don't, he said, these are the curses. It talks about all kinds of sickness there. All kind. You see, all these things we're seeing are a consequence of man's sins. And it's not the sin of just one person or one nation. Like I said, everyone say collective and say cumulative. Say collective, say cumulative. It is the collective and cumulative sins of humanity, particularly in the last 100 years. That is, that we are now seeing the effect of it. Like when Saul sinned and killed the priests of Nob, the effect did not come until many years later when David was king. Sins that were committed in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, the effect, we're seeing it now. Sins that we committed in the 1970s and 80s, they're still ahead, the effect. But the good news is this. And that is why we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. One of the reasons why God is going to clothe His church with His glory, so that we will do the same miracles Jesus did and greater, is to deliver mankind from the bondage of corruption and the effect of these things. It's very important that we understand that. So this all we've seen now with this coronavirus is like a dress rehearsal. There are other things that are coming, but by the time they come, we will be standing, glory to God, with the whole armor of God, and we will speak and an earthquake will stop. Glory be to God. We will speak and a plague will stop. A pestilence will stop. We will speak, and a land that has been barren, that has brought famine, you will now bring forth fruit. The sons of God have authority over the planet. Are you listening to me? We need to understand, God had anticipated what would happen because of man's sin and produced a solution through His Son. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now let me tell you a little bit of the downside to that. That's good news. But I'll tell you a little bit of the downside to that. When Jesus was around, He was only one Jesus. But He was powerful. Most of His miracles were done in a very small geographical area of Palestine. Are you listening to me? Bethsaida, Chorazin, Capernaum, he did very few miracles in Nazareth, where he came from, because of their attitude. Jerusalem to some degree, Tyre and Sidon, and he went around, And you see the Lord Jesus doing great miracles. But even with all of that, you still see things happening that were negative. For example, during Jesus' ministry, a tower in Siloam fell down and killed some 18 people. The fact that Jesus was around didn't stop, some things that are happening. Some people were killed by Pilate, and their blood was mingled with their sacrifice. What I'm saying is this: as great as the glory of God that is coming, and it will cover all the earth in the sense that there will be no place we won't go to. There will be no place that will not see it. Yet, sadly, and mysteriously to me, some people will not take advantage of it.
They won't believe. They would have a wrong attitude like they did with Jesus. He couldn't do any great work in Nazareth, not because the glory wasn't there. It was because the people in Nazareth had a wrong attitude. So there's one of the reasons why we're preaching what we're preaching, so that people will have the right attitude, so that you can actually get the blessings. We're going to have five different kinds of miracles that we're going to see. We're going to have physical miracles like raising the dead, healing the sick, and all of that. We're going to have intellectual miracles through the ability of the mind of Christ. We're going to have political miracles like the miracles we see in Joseph, you know, in Egypt, and later on with Daniel in Babylon, Ezra, Mordecai, and Esther in Persia. We're going to see those kind of miracles. We're going to see environmental miracles, things like earthquakes, you know, and things like that, and people of God, like Elijah did of old, you know, will speak and the thing will just stop instantly, and people will see it. And we're going to have environmental miracles, you know, economic miracles like with Joseph, environmental miracles. All these things are going to happen. God is going to use the sons of God as an avenue of mercy to our generation and a witness to them that we will demonstrate the powers of the age to come. The age to come hasn't come yet, but we will demonstrate it as a witness to all nations. And once we've done that and we've shown them God is something, for those who come and join us and get born again, they will follow us and we'll go in the rapture. Those who don't will stay here and face the music. Not because God does, you know, God wanted to save them. But, you know, they needed to respond in faith. You know, I find the human heart and the degree to which it is deceived is amazing to me. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Amplified Bible says it's mortally sick. And one of the things that has revealed that to me is what I read in the book of Revelation. Can you believe that after 1,000 years of Jesus' reign on the earth, physical, in Jerusalem, Satan is loosed for just a short while and people follow him? Can you believe that? It tells you how wicked the heart is. These are people who have been seeing all these things for 1,000 years. So in the same way, even with us now, as we're going to do all these great miracles and everything, people will see it, yet there will be people who won't. That's why it is now important to exercise your heart in honesty, in humility, you know, in righteousness. Because if you exercise your heart in sin, it gets hardened. And it gets to a point where it doesn't matter what God does, it will rebel. Even in the book of Revelation, even during the Great Tribulation, when God sends all kinds of plagues and all that, he says, neither did they repent of their sins or their sorceries or their adulteries or their fornications. Can you believe it? It shows you how hard the heart can become. So now is the time. Now is the time to listen to what we're saying and work on your heart. Use this corona, this lockdown time to get into your Bible. If you're not born again, get born again now. This is the time to do it. You understand? Get into the Word of God. Let your hearts be properly prepared and strengthened so that when we come out of this lockdown and other challenges come, you will not be afraid. And God will protect you. Hallelujah. He didn't say those things will not come. They will come, but we will overcome them. When they come, 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 we will overcome them. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8, and then we'll go and look at the how as we begin to close. Romans chapter 8. This is a scripture that has been obscure to us over the years. I believe it's one of the sealed scriptures, but the Holy Spirit in the last 20, 30 years has been opening it up to us. We've been getting clarity on it, you know, because we're in the time of its fulfillment as I speak. He says, for the earnest expectation
verse 19. Romans 8, verse 19. I'm going to read 5 verses to verse 23. It says, for the earnest expectation, I didn't hear you, of the creature or creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. In other words, God allowed the creation to be subject to vanity because of Adam's original sin. And Adam had given the authority of the planet to Satan. So that's the reason why. But God had a hope that his son, Jesus, would put a, he said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. So by bringing his son in, the first son, he's now going to bring many sons unto glory that will now deliver the creation from the bondage of corruption. Hallelujah. So he said, the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. There are two key words there. One word is glory, the other word is liberty. See, the glory of God always brings liberty. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that we are changed in the same image from glory to glory. The glory of God, when it comes, it will bring healing from disease. It will bring deliverance. It will bring, you know, where there's been famine, it will cause the desert land to become a fruitful field. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. You see in Psalm 67, you know, it says, the earth shall bring forth her increase. A land that was not fruitful before, God will speak to it and it will become fruitful. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Earthquakes and terrible climatic conditions will all of a sudden say, peace, be still. And they will just calm. The sons of God will do that. Just like the first son did, the pattern son did. Now he's bringing many sons unto glory. Okay. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. At the time Paul was writing, and now 2,000 years down the road, it's really now. That's all these things we're seeing now, you know, in the end time. The good news is, verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also, even who are born again, which have the fruits of the Spirit. You see, we have the Holy Spirit now, and we speak in tongues, and we have miracles and the gifts of the Spirit. But what we have now is the earnest of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan, we feel the pressure of this time. We feel these things, you know. And that's why we should pray in the Spirit with groanings and all of that. You know, waiting for the adoption. That word means to wit, means to know or to experience the what? Redemption of our body. God is going to transform. It's not a resurrection. It's a transformation. God is going to transform our physical bodies so that they will become channels through which the life and the glory of God can manifest. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Just like God transformed the physical body of Abraham and Sarah so that they could give birth to the Son of Promise. God is going to transform our physical bodies so that we will manifest the fullness of the Son of God. Glory be to God. That process is taking place as I speak. And it is one of the reasons why you need to get into deep intercession. When you pray with tongues and with groanings, literally, the Holy Spirit is pumping out the life of God from your spirit through your soul into your physical body, and He's doing a work in it, transforming it. The Bible says the life of God will be made manifest where? In the mortal body. This is not resurrection. This is transformation. Transformation of the physical body so that the power and the life of God can come through it. The whole creation is waiting for this. Even as I speak now, you know, people are wondering, how are we going to survive this coronavirus? Even when they say they will get a vaccine or they will get a treatment for it, you know, the economic effect, the effect of the there's a word I'm looking for, you know, the ripple effect. Even when it's over, you know, the damage. that has been done to some of the economies of the world. There's some pundits are giving all kinds of estimates. Some people will say it will take them another 1 year. Some say it will take 2 years. Some take 5 years for us to recover from it. But you know what? God's going to speed things up through the sons of God. Through the sons of God. That's why the world is going to need the sons of God now. If they were left to natural solutions, even if they discover a vaccine, you know, and they begin to inject people, you know, it was still going to take time for everybody to get that vaccine, you know, and to get an immunity against this thing. All the things like social distances are going to continue. You know, there's still going to be restriction on travel. There's still going to be restriction between nations. All those things are realities because it's going to take time. And then the damage. I was reading something on CNN yesterday. You know, there was a farmer in France, you know, who they do cheese. You know, he had this whole refrigerator full of cheese because normally they supply cheese to all the hotels and everything in England. The cheese have gone rotten. When they opened something, the plate came out with a stick. He has lost all that. And there's so many like that. There's so many, even oil, the price of oil has gone to minus something. It's going to take time, but the sons of God are on the way. You see, now, you see, so many things are clearer to me now. I now understand some scriptures in a far better way when the Bible says, you know, that wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your time. It's going to be the wisdom of God that comes through the church of God, this glorious church that is going to stabilize these things, the economic miracles, the intellectual miracles, the environmental miracles that we will, that are supernatural. These are not things that are going to take 2 years. They're going to happen instant. That's the characteristic of the Spirit without measure, that they will now stabilize things. So things that ordinarily would take years will be done in a week, you know, in a month, and things will stabilize back. But you know what it's going to do? It's good news for us. It's going to bring money into the church. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The Bible says, and the wealth of the nations will come unto thee. Let's quickly look at that Isaiah 60, then I'll deal with this and close. Isaiah 60, hallelujah. And look at verses, you know, let's read from verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, yea, gross darkness, his people were there right now. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Because they're in the same verse, since the darkness is here, the glory must also come now. And Gentiles or the nations will come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about. It's also going to bring a harvest of souls. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me recently. You know, we are going to, the world population at the moment is close to 8 billion. Of this 8 billion, as I'm talking today, you know, only about 1 billion, and I'm being generous with these figures, are truly professing born-again Christians. I don't even think we're up to 1 billion. I'm trying to be generous. Professing Christianity, that is people who go to church, is 2 billion. You know, about. But the ones that are truly blood-washed, spirit-born, that truly know Jesus, I don't think we are over a billion at the moment. Of that 1 billion, the ones that are filled with the Holy Spirit and are believing all these kind of things that we are preaching, you know, I think we will be very generous if we have 100 million of us. We're filled with the, I mean, there are plenty of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. We probably have maybe like 200-400 million that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Of that 203 million, to get the ones that really understand and are doing these things, I don't think we're more at the moment, you know, more than probably 100 million. And I think that's being generous, you know. But by the time we finish this thing, Glory be to God. I believe we will have at least 700 million who will carry the glory of God throughout the whole earth. Jesus, you know, speaking prophetically, you know, the Bible says, I have 7,000. Seven is God's number of completion. I have not bowed. You know, the using that as a shadow, you know, and a type, you know. And then we will bring in a harvest. Not everybody will carry the glory, but those who will get born again and come into the church, we can, you know, by the time we're going, we'll probably be in the area of maybe 5, 6, 7 billion. God will do it. Now, not all of them may necessarily go with the man child and all of that, but they will be born again. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Compared to what we have now, the harvest is a harvest of the nations. We're going to see, I believe that in these next few years, we're going to see maybe 4 billion people come into the church. I'm talking about people who go to church every Sunday, who are born again, who are spirit filled. I'm not talking about just people who just profess. There'll still be a lot of people who are maybe another 5 billion who are on the earth who don't believe on earth. But you know, compared to what we have now, we have about one now. You know, by we will have real born again, spirit filled Christians all over the world. So that's what he's talking about here. He says, "Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. What's going to bring them? The glory." It's going to attract them. Thy sons shall come from afar. They will come from the uttermost parts of the earth. And thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Thou shalt see and flow together. And thy heart shall fear and be enlarged. Give this to me in the New International Version. It's very lovely here in the New International Version. Where it says, you will look. I didn't hear you. And be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. You know, all the things we've been expecting all these years, we're going to see it. The wealth of the sea on the seas will be what? Brought unto you. The riches of the nations will come. Because we will provide a solution. Solution providers that the world has no solution for. Because the problems they are facing now, particularly through this particular coronavirus and others like it, is going to require supernatural solution. Natural solutions can only work so far. And they will take too long. We're going to need a supernatural solution. Hence, the coming of the sons of God. That is why, now, you and I need to do all to stand. Now, I'm going to give us four things, you know, maybe four, that we need to do to stand. Number one, to stand in this difficult, perilous times, you need daily, and these four things you have to do them in this order. This is why it's an instructional message for victory and spiritual growth. Now you're at home, you still have another lockdown for another at least 1 or 2 weeks. Don't waste it. Start practicing these things. Number one, daily pray for more humility and the fear of God. Because the Bible says of Jesus, he was heard in that he feared. I mentioned this during my Bible study. Many Christians have been taught about the grace of God, but they've not been taught about the fear of God. The fear of God is something you have to choose daily. Humility is something you have to ask God for more. God will not humble you. You have to humble yourself. And it's something you have to realize that we have to have an increase of. You see, people say, everybody say, I'm humble. I don't think there's none of us who is not humble to some degree. Amen? But we need to be more humble. Because the grace we have now cannot deal with some of the problems. And to get more grace, I'm going to have more humility. You need to pray that prayer daily for yourself with an honest and a sincere heart. The minute you think you don't need to be humble, you really need to be humble. It shows you are still proud. It means you don't understand a lot of things. There's a message I'm preaching. I'm going to prepare. You know, it's not for today. You know, it's called, the Lord was downloading to me. It's called Breaking Our Pride. But I just mention a part of it. You know what Jesus said? He said, whoever falls upon this rock, he said, it will be broken. He said, but if the rock falls on the person, he said, it will be crushed to powder. That rock is the revelation of how Jesus lived.
When you start trying, practicing the word of God to do the thing, to live the way Jesus, you're going to fall at first. And all that fall will break your pride. You will come to see how much you need the grace of God. So you need to pray that prayer. And we have those prayers in some of our books. You know, you say, I choose to fear God, so I humble myself. I submit myself to the will of God, even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer. Knowing the certainty of His judgment and chastening if I disobey, and the security of His mercy when I obey. And so I receive more of the humility of the mind of Christ. It's a daily prayer. Number two. You need to put on the whole armor of God. And God gave me a wonderful revelation some years ago. God is love. So we can say the whole armor of God is the whole armor of love. It means you have to put on all the fruit of the Spirit daily. Daily. So every day you pray, you know, God give me more love, more joy, more peace, more long-suffering, more gentleness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more self-control, you know, more gentleness. All these things. We all have it. There's no Christian who won't have a little measure of those things. But you need much more of it to deal with what's coming. Long-suffering. Gentleness. You know, faithfulness. Thank you, darling. It's a faithful man who can find. Look at all of it there. You know? A faithful man who can find. It's a rhetorical question. It means faithfulness is something that is not very common in the earth. Otherwise, God will not say a faithful man who can find. It's not easy to get them. Everybody can talk about it. It's in the book of Proverbs. Every man possesses his own faithfulness. But, you know, there are very few that are truly faithful, especially faithful under pressure. You see, and that's why you need long suffering. You need, you know, patience. Let me say something that's very important about this. The fruit of the Spirit are spiritual forces. They're not just nice emotions. They operate on the emotions. They temper and work on the emotions. But they're not emotions. They're spiritual. There's forces that come, the virtues of God that are intrinsic inside the three persons of the Godhead. When you pray, and you pray in the Spirit and you speak God's word, we're going to come to that in a minute, you know, you release those spiritual forces, so they come from the innermost being. Watch this. The innermost being, and then they fill the inner man. You see, you have, your inner man is your spirit. That has hand, leg, and all of that. The belly of your spirit is your innermost being. That's where God's life enters. Just like your umbilical cord is where you are connected to your mother. Your belly is where you are connected to God. I am the vine, you are the branches. So when the life of God enters, it goes into your belly. When you now begin to pray, you speak God's word and you begin to pray in tongues, from your belly comes out the power of God, these spiritual forces. So that's where love comes, joy comes, peace comes, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. They come out from your innermost being, then they go up, they open the will, break the stubbornness of the will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's only the force that can do it. You know, that's why the Bible says the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent taken by what is the kingdom? Righteousness, which is love. You know, peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. God is breaking it down to us now in clear that we cannot say we don't understand. Are you listening to me? These spiritual forces go. They break the stubbornness of the will. They enter the mind and fill it with light. Then they enter the emotions and control them. They long suffering. You know why people can't pray in tongues for long? No long suffering. I start praying in tongues. You know, you pray for 5 minutes. I remember when my own experience, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in November 11, 1979. It was the winter of 1979. And I heard Kenneth Hagin and Yonge Cho later on. Yonge Cho, you know, lovely, great man of God. You know, he said, you know, you want to, he says this in his Korean English. He says, I pray to Heavenly Father in heavenly language for 1 hour every morning. You know, they have this prayer mountain in South Korea. I think they still have it there. You know, so I tried it. So I prayed So I thought I'd prayed a long time. I looked at my watch, 5 minutes. Not only that, my head started paining me. My tongue went dry. I asked myself, I said, these men are crazy. Can anybody do this? You know? But God had mercy on me. And I'd learned from Kenneth Hagin, say, you don't care how you feel, just do it. So I slogged on. It was like an eternity. I slogged on until the 1 hour was complete. You know, gradually over, I'm talking about weeks and months, my body changed. My mind changed. My emotions changed. Then praying in tongues for 1 hour became easy. But initially it was tough. You know what you need to stay through? Long suffering. That's why many Christians, they pray, if they pray in spirit for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, they get tired, their mind wanders. What's that? It's a lack of self-control. You need self-control. You need all the fruit of the Spirit working on your emotions so you can pray properly. That's why the prayer in our book, you know, says it like this. You know, I pray that you give me more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. As I pray now, it's deliberate. Because you see, if those fruit of the Spirit are not there, you will find difficult to pray. If you don't have more of it on a daily basis, then your prayer life gets better. And then in every circumstance situation for the rest of the day, you need to put on. That's why it's called it the whole. That's why Paul gave us a comprehensive list. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, patience. We need those, particularly self-control, patience, meekness. The sin nature that is inside the soul and body is intrinsically proud and stubborn. You need to keep hitting it with the fruit of the Spirit and break it. Amen. Break that pride so that you now become meek. You now become, you know, and then you have self-control. You can suffer inconvenience for a long time. Prayer is not easy, especially praying in the Spirit and groaning and travail. You know, you don't even feel it's not a walk in the park. You know, you feel something, you know, and your body doesn't want to do it, your mind doesn't want to do it, you know. But if you learn to do it, you know, with the fruit of the Spirit, you know what's going to happen? After a while, you get used to it. You know, like my wife, to the glory of God and the pastors, you know, and myself, you know, we can pray. On Saturday, for example, yesterday, start praying at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, pray right until 6 o'clock in the evening. It takes time. It's a fruit of the... It can be done. But you have to have the whole armor of God on. If the whole armor of God is on, you can't do it. Number 3. You need to do 2 things. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, this is the one most Christians know and try and do. I practically, you know, I listen to different people on YouTube because, you know, we're not the only ones who God speaks to. So I've learned, and I'm still learning, to listen to others. And I learn from others. You know, you hear a lot now about prophetic declarations. Everybody is a prophet now. Everybody is making a declaration. Everybody wants to speak God's word. And it's good. There's nothing wrong in that. Are you listening to me? It's good. You know, everybody's making faith declarations. You can have what you say. Speak to the mountain. You know, that's the word of God. You take the word of God. But you see, the word of God has 2 aspects to it. This is why this is an instructional message. The first part of using the word of God is to get divine life. Because it is divine life that will empower your words. The Bible says, of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The words I speak to you, they are spirit. But not only that, but they are life. How much life or what measure of life is in the words you are speaking? You cannot wake up and say, mountain, move. But how much life is inside your word? It is the amount of life that is inside your words and the power of the Holy Ghost that is behind it that determines the efficacy of your declarations. And that is why you must use the word of God in two ways. It's the sword of the Spirit, according to Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God is living, sharper than any two-edged sword. You use it to get life. The Bible says so in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. These promises by which you become partakers of the divine nature. That's one aspect. Then the second aspect is that you now use the word of God as your legal basis for making a faith or a prophetic declaration. You cannot make a declaration that is not based on God's word. God will only back what his word has said. Is this clear? So you must have those two things. So that is the sword of the Spirit. Notice it is in order. It starts with the fear of God, honesty and humility. You know, then it goes to the fruit of the Spirit. Then it now goes to the word of God. And then the final instruction, praying in the Spirit. Now, this one is not emphasized. I listen to, you know, many of our prophetic teachers and faith teachers. Very few people observe this, emphasize this. They mention it sometimes in passing. Some don't even mention it at all. Others mention it in passing. But I want to tell you today that the thing that is going to make your prophetic declaration, that is going to give it power for it to come to pass, is intercession. In the Spirit, you need to do a lot, not a little, a lot of praying in the Spirit. That is why the great apostle, he tells us, he said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, pray sometimes. No, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching. So when I'm praying in the Spirit, you know what? I should be watching. What am I watching? He that is invisible. I'm seeing God in front of me. The Lord is, I've set the Lord. Before I start praying in tongues, I set the Lord always before me, and he's at my right hand. So you need to, that's one of the reasons why you need all those initial things. The fear of God, honesty and humility of heart, which will bring grace. You need the fruit of the Spirit. You need the word of God. So when those things are in place, there will be light in your mind. For the entrance of his word giveth light. With that light, you can see the invisible. So you can then, that's why you can make you pray in the Spirit consistently. You see, it is not pray and watch. It is watch and pray. You see, if I'm not seeing anything, I have no motivation to continue in prayer. Because when I pray in Spirit, I don't understand what I'm saying. That's why the carnal mind can't pray much in tongues. Because his mind is unfruitful. So he wants to say, what's all this nonsense I'm saying? You know, I'm not interested and all that. Because he's not seeing what's going on in the realm of the Spirit. But if you're seeing the invisible, you know that God is working, the angels are working, things are happening, praise the Lord, glory to God. So praying in the Spirit does not become a drudgery. It now becomes something that you do. So you need to pray a lot in the Spirit. And God gave me specific instructions. Number one, make it a goal. You may not get there immediately. Before I close here, make it a goal to try and pray 1 hour in tongues every day. The Good Morning Jesus platform is an excellent platform for that. Not because it's us. Like my wife said some time ago, she said, look, even if you don't go to the message, if you can get up every morning early and pray 1 hour in the Spirit, you will see how your life will change. But it's an excellent avenue. Because there are other Christians, it gives you, especially if you tell people, you know, that I'm going to be on. Then when they don't see you, they can ask accountability. And so you get up, not because you feel like getting up, but because you know somebody's going to ask you. So it's a very good. And then the corporate anointing. One puts 1,000 to flight, 2 put 10,000 to flight, 5 will put 100 to flight, and so on. And God synergizes that power. So you get a lot. So God has created this avenue so that the end time people will not have an excuse. You can't say now, like you could have said 4 or 5 years ago, oh, you know, I can't do it. You know, I don't care whether you're in Japan. I don't care whether you're in North Korea. I don't care whether you're in Nigeria. It doesn't matter where you are. Anywhere in the world, you can join us. You don't even have to understand English. Praise the Lord. All you got to do is just join. You know, go in, listen to what we're saying. You know, I don't say amen when we say amen. I'm praying tongues. You know, it work. All prayer in the Spirit is in unity. You know why? Because all the utterance is given by the Holy Spirit. It bypasses our head. So we may disagree in our heads, but we agree in the Spirit. glory be to God. And if two or three shall touch anything, I agree as touching anything, he says it shall be done. That is why Satan fights it so much. So we need to pray a lot in the spirit. Aim for at least 1 hour. That's why the GMT, where by the time you follow the Good Morning Jesus, you find that you've prayed for at least 45 to 50 minutes in the spirit. Pray. Then even after that, you know, during the week, you know, find a 1 hour where you pray for yourself privately. Because it's one thing to pray corporately, another thing to pray privately. You have to pray privately too. So that you can develop your personal relationship with the Lord. You know, and God will speak to you. So you need to do that. So start with that. Then on top of that, during the day, frequently, as God helps you, the Holy Spirit will be leading. I being in the way the Lord led me. Anytime you're prompted, just pray in tongues. It may just be one minute. Then, you know, you get some more time again, you pray again in tongues. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me. I receive your blood to cleanse me from all righteousness, life and power. And then pray in tongues. Pray in tongues frequently throughout the day. These were the two things the Apostle Paul emphasized. He said, I would that you all speak in tongues. Then in verse 18 of chapter 14, he says, I thank my God. That's why the man wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. That I speak in tongues more than you all. This is spoken in tongues frequently. You to stand. This is doing all to stand. To stand in this day in which we are living in, you need to pray a lot in tongues after you have made a prophetic or a faith declaration. Because you will see this is prior and also in Genesis. You see, the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters before God spoke. You see the Word and the Spirit constantly working together. You cannot have the Word without the Spirit. And you cannot have the Spirit without the Word. You need both of them. That is why these instructions are so important. So, in conclusion, these are the four things you need to do to stand in this day. Number one, daily, pray for more of the fear of God and humility. Number two, daily, pray for more of the fruit of the Spirit. Number three, daily, take the sword of the Spirit to receive God's life and have a legal basis for your faith and prophetic declarations. For instance, coronavirus, you will not enter my house, and it will not enter. You've got too many angels around you. Hallelujah. So that angel of death, if he tries to enter your house, he has stronger angels and more in number. He can enter. And those angels are hearkening to the voice of God, which is your prophetic declaration and you're praying in tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, you're speaking in tongues of angels. Even the wicked angels, when they hear your tongues, will run. Because they know the reinforcements that are coming. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Glory be to God. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Then number three, you take the sword of the Spirit for the life of God and faith declaration. And then number five, you pray a lot in the Spirit. Number four, thank you, darling. You pray a lot in the Spirit. This has not been emphasized in the church sufficiently. It has not been. And that's why we're not getting the kind of results we should be getting. People are making declarations without sufficient power to back them. Let us pray. Now talk to God. Talk to God. Doing all to stand, stand. I've told you all to do to stand. And you see, as you do this, God will teach you many more things. There are a lot of other things. But these basics are there. The fear of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the Word of God, and praying in the Spirit. Very simple. Very simple. Let's talk to God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Welcome him afresh. I know he's already in us, but you're welcoming him in another dimension.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Move amongst us.
Amongst
with holy fire,
holy fire,
as
we lay aside all earthly desires.
Hands reach out. Strike those hands.
Hands reach out.
And our hearts.
And our hearts aspire. Holy Spirit.
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. We welcome you.
Let the wind, glory to God.
Let the wind.
Let the wind.
Of your presence.
Of your presence.
Your
children here might truly know
how, glory to God,
how to move,
hallelujah,
in the Spirit
flow,
Holy Spirit.
On us, so receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I repent of all prayerlessness, spiritual laziness, and I determine now by your mercy and grace to do all to stand daily, and therefore I declare I will stand. I will stand. In these perilous times, I will stand. 1,000 may fall at my right hand, 10,000 at my left hand. It will not come near me. I will stand. I will stand by your mercy and grace. By daily praying for more of the fear of God and humility. Daily putting on the whole armor of love, all of the fruit of the Spirit. Daily taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to receive life and to make faith and prophetic declarations, and daily to pray in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy on me. Now give me mercy to be faithful to do all to stand daily in Jesus' name. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, la prique tolom 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 Holy Spirit, la proclama tolom tolom, l'ambreclama tolom 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 tolom. In Jesus' name, let's still stay in agile prayer. If you are home and you say, Pastor, I'm not born again,
or I am not filled with the Holy Spirit. These are very simple things. All God is looking for is an honest heart. So just pray this prayer after me. Even if you're a Christian and you're with other people that are not Christian, just pray after me, you know, just to encourage them. Just say, Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name. I realize I have the nature of sin in my soul and in my body, Lord, and in my spirit. Lord, but I don't want this nature of sin to continue to dominate me. I believe Jesus died for my sins, and he was raised again from the dead for my justification. So now I accept him as my Savior, and I confess him as my Lord. And I receive eternal life, the divine nature in my inner man. Father, I determine in my heart not to go back to a regular life of sin. And I'm trusting you for grace and mercy to help me to live in righteousness and in holiness all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You also need to pray for the Holy Spirit. If you don't speak in tongues, it's not difficult. So many of us got baptized in the Holy Spirit privately without anybody there. Just say, Holy Spirit, please fill me. Help me to pray in tongues. He will see, he will help you. He will help you. And we have our books which will be advertised after the service. Praise the Lord. So we've come to the end of the service. I want to thank you for sharing this time with us. It's been such a lovely time. I know God is going to help you. You will stand. One last thing I want to say just before I go. See, God does not require immediate perfection. That would be unfair. God is not, he's a good God. But he requires one thing. Immediate acceptance as an act of your will and immediate practice. Just say, yes, Lord, and start. Even if you don't do it very well, it doesn't matter. Just, and the mercy of God will gradually help you to get better and better. In Jesus' name, amen. We will now take the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, for God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you do all to stand, and you stand. God bless you. Have a great week.